Check it out. You know it's tight. You know it's hot. SRN1 answered the call.
Newsreel on SRN1, 6 o'clock weekdays.
They are now on board to help us destroy the core political world.
Go, baby, go, baby. Yeah, we're right behind you.
American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with the capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
It is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Tuesday, August 16th, 2005. And this would be Newsreel. Your daily report is the wall counterculture defeats the evil of core political tyranny. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today, and just by listening, you are too. You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal, and you can get to my live journal temporarily by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free radio broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Radio306.com, OspreyRadio.info, and Extreme Radio Tampa. And just like the clip at the beginning of the show said, that's right, we have another station carrying us known as SRN1. You should be aware that you yourself are free to distribute this broadcast in any way you see fit, but I would ask you not to violate any of your local core political laws, which may be there, and you may have the FBI asking you questions simply because you're thinking freely and for yourself. And as everybody knows, the government is not really so happy with people who happen to try to think for themselves and rationalize that maybe, just maybe, there aren't any terrorists running around killing everyone. Maybe all this fear is something that's being whipped up to get us to bring in a police state so that we can let our liberties fall by the wayside. And I'm here to tell you, I don't think you should let that happen. That's just me, though, and hey, I'm a crazy Canuck. I'm not even American. Hell, I'm not even a human fucking being. According to most of the policies going on in the airports now, because I'm not an American citizen, I could do, like, a connection flight through America and probably be arrested, strip searched, sent to Guantanamo Bay as a propaganda minister. You know, I could see that happening, you know, even though I'm just a, well, realistically, I'm a security guard. So, you know, what do you do? I would like to think I'm probably on the winning team, you know, but you never really know. In today's day and age, everyone's so scared, nobody's willing to speak out. But it's important for all of us, in our own way, to do all we can to be a consciousness commando and try to keep people's brains open before the steel trap of the core political bullshit remains rusted shut. So let's get straight into some feedback. Dear Mr. Kennedy. Wow. Gotta like the Mr. Kennedy bit. I was listening to your Wednesday show, which featured an article on our terrorism laws. This is a letter from the UK, by the way. I was concerned when you said you thought people could be detained for long periods of time without any evidence. The police need evidence to get arrest warrants in the first place, and they can hold you for so long without charging you, which means the prosecutors think they have enough evidence to secure a conviction. Even after that, you can sue for wrongful arrest if they broke protocol and were gung-ho about things. There are also loads of European communities and regulatory bodies and things which look out for people's human rights and take up individual cases. Here's my Scottish view, born in Edinburgh, live in Dundee, on recent terrorism. I'm worried about our new terrorism laws. I think that one series of bomb attacks since the Trade Center bombings is pretty good going for our police force. I mean, how many people actually died? 52 in comparison to the old IRA activities and other crimes and our hell roadside activities. If we don't blitzkrieg the road safety laws just because a school bus crashes, why should we go overboard on anti-terrorism laws because one group of nutcases manages to slip through the net? I feel bad for people who've lost loved ones and who are injured, but I don't think it justifies changing our way of life. I really feel you guys at Rant Radio, in particular, the old Rant Speak show and yourself, think badly of our country, which is a shame, because I don't think things are really that bad. Sure, there are closed-circuit TV cameras outside shops and clubs, and police patrol the streets at night, but from what I've experienced, these are mainly to deter crime from happening in the first place. Who is going to stab someone right in front of a CCTV camera? I mean, come on. And then to go on a crusade to bang up as many people as possible. Also, police usually let people off with a warning for most stuff. It's the first, if it's the first time. Anyway, I like your show, although I don't always agree with your views, but worry that you get very worked up, and I hope you relax afterwards, maybe with some writing, yoga, or jogging. Keep up the good work. Yours with concerns, Thomas. Well, Thomas, it's like this. I used to believe that human rights, you know, in the concept of human rights. But in all honesty, I have never seen any evidence of human rights whatsoever. Now, anyone who's like, what they do is they tell you that you have rights and freedoms, right? They tell you this. They go, oh, no, you're a free citizen. We've got all these regulatory bodies. But much like a CCTV camera, those regulatory bodies can't prevent you from being locked away in a hole. All they can do is punish people who are responsible, supposedly, later. But the problem is that it's the government that's doing this to you. So having a body that's below the government trying to prosecute the government is impossible. That's why you wind up with things where people in the United States are going, oh, well, you know, I got locked up and I need details to contact my son. He's been locked up. He's been accused of being a terrorist, but he has been charged. You know, I need to contact him. And they say, no, you can't contact him. It's national security. Bang, that's it. You're locked out. And if he causes any more problems, then obviously you're a terrorist too. So this sort of mentality is a little bit frightening. Now, in the UK, granted as well, in the United States, they have the Charter of Rights and Freedoms, right? They have the American Charter. They probably do have a Charter of Rights and Freedoms. But what I was thinking of was the Constitution. The Constitution has been systematically violated by the Patriot Act. And does anyone do anything about it? No. Why? Because the government is the one violating the Constitution. You see how that works? If you have corruption at its highest level, then who is going to enforce that corruption? Well, according to the founding fathers of the Constitution, I believe the whole concept was that's what the Second Amendment was all about. You know, it's the whole, you know, right to bear arms and all that kind of jazz. Because obviously you need to be able to kill your leaders if they're corrupt. Now, a lot of people get really excited when I say things like that because, Sean, are you telling us to kill President Bush? Absolutely not. I would never say such a thing. That would be horrific. Violence on any scale is bad. But when you're looking at why the founding fathers of the United States put in the Second Amendment, I think a pretty good argument could be made that that was the reason why. These were pretty savage times back then, after all. There's a lot of people who think that the U.S. Constitution is, in fact, obsolete. It's kind of like the Geneva Convention, which has also been called obsolete and kind of quaint in retrospect. You know what I mean? These rules, these words on paper, these concepts are not real things. The only things that really exist are the thoughts and ideas that are backed up by force. And unfortunately, the people of the world are not willing to enforce their own rights and freedoms. And we have become way too soft and way too trusting of authority. And now we are paying that price. So I have no problem with the people of Britain. I think the people of Britain are very good people. I think the entire UK, Wales, Ireland, Scotland, all that good stuff. Love you guys. Think you're great. I'm just thinking that we need to be aware of the fact that the government is doing some pretty funky stuff. Dear Sean, you said on Friday's show that a university has found a connection between people and electronic equipment. But wait, does this not also apply to cars? Well, I don't know, man. I think we're talking about, like, you know, the whole quantum, massive computation, subtle influence, chaos theory kind of stuff. So I don't know if it applies to cars. I can't tell you how many times people I know have had problems with their cars, take them to the mechanic, and the problem disappears as they approach the shop. I'm sorry, but I think this has been overlooked by said university, though it has probably been experienced by more people. Just my thoughts. Keep up the awesome job, man. Caber Lord. Okay, well, you know, that's fair. I've gotten a lot of email from people saying, man, that's so true about that computer thing. There's all kinds of people who have problems. And then, you know, the mystic computer shaman guy comes in and wiggles his fingers at the computer and it fixes it. Well, I wonder if the same thing could be said about cars. If you've had any experiences, please email them to newsreel@randradio.com. Dear Sean, I was listening to the Newsreel Archive where you mentioned that adware and such were dropping certain detections. Sadly, most of the freeware spyware programs out there and the semi-freeware ones as well get most of their money by soliciting spyware-bearing corporations for donations for their work because they're bribed not to post a manufacturer's spyware program in their definitions. Isn't that interesting? However, Norton has gotten nuts. Having a long-standing level of paranoia, Norton's recent corporate edition carries the most solid-level definition set of adware, spyware, viral, Viri, Trojan, etc. A very neat, nice little all-in-one program. I suggest that all listeners acquire this. Also, I suggest using a registry cleaner. Even Norton's uber paranoia cannot get rid of every file, just the ones that cause harm and will leave the clutter all over the registry. And I also suggest Reg Supreme, which is actually very, very cool. I've got to actually do a format reinstall on this Sony box that I got. I got the Sony Vaio here. And as scary as that is, and I know everyone's going to hate me, I'm running Windows XP Pro, and I have not done a clean install on the box. It's true. I haven't done a clean install. It's kind of sick and weird. It's kind of sad. I know. But the truth is, I have not done a clean install on the box. Bought it, brought it home, turned it on, and started recording Newsreel. But that was because it was during the week, and I needed to acquire and get the show out. And since then, I haven't really been brave enough to just, you know, wipe the thing, record the show on a Friday, wipe the whole thing, and then reinstall over the 3 days, just in case, you know, something went wrong. We couldn't stand to miss a show. Maybe what I'll do is I'll record like a special edition show or a show special so that if, you know, something does go wrong, I can get another day out of it, blah, 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 and hopefully get it fixed. But absolutely, I'm kind of a Norton guy myself, not to push the product or anything, but I am kind of a Norton guy. I prefer Norton over McAfee or anybody else, simply because this probably what I've always used, but it's nice to know that, you know, word from the street is that apparently Norton stuff is still pretty good. Never heard of this Reg Supreme thing before. But hey, you know, one of the guys sent it in. Maybe it's worth a damn. Investigate it. Check it out. All right. Dear Sean, I know you're probably expecting people to shit all over you about the art fag comments. I'm not going to. But I do want to correct you on the history of the word fag. As one of my many hobbies, I'm a student of the most random shit. One of these disciples is gender studies. In an effort to explain the hostile environment that Walt Whitman faced when he wrote the poem Calamus, I use the word faggot as an example. In the Middle Ages, it should be remembered that the church did a whole burning at the stake thing. Now, like the guillotine, the gallows, and the hangman's noose, there is a terminology associated with each method of execution. To actually immolate the entire body takes 12 hours to a day. I didn't know that. And I don't know the exact specs, since I've never tried it myself. However, in order to keep the fire going, because for 12 hours to a day, they used bundles of sticks that were cut to specific lengths and widths. The word faggot actually refers to the bundle of sticks they used to keep the body burning all day. A bundle of sticks used to burn someone at the stake called a faggot, just as a scaffold for a hangman is called a gallows. The implication, therefore, is actually pretty disturbing, because the church disapproved of homosexuality, they deemed it a capital offense, and claimed that homosexuality was related to possession by the devil. Therefore, the church burned gay people at the stake over a pile of wood called faggots. There's also why the word fag refers to a cigarette in England. See how it went from the execution to a cigarette? It was a little harder. I don't care to try. Well, not really. I mean, it's a, you know, smoking, burning fire, a fag, you know, that kind of a thing. It's not really too far gone. The important thing is that fag is actually an implication of violence against a person of the homosexual persuasion. The implication, although not often realized, historically meant that the person was insinuated that the person being labeled deserved to die. This, by any stretch of the imagination, is not a good thing. It is actually pretty fucked up. That being said, art fag is a word I hear all the time in my visual arts class. Not the professors, mind you, but the students use it all the time. Art fag, for better or worse, does not carry the same negative connotation. Just thought you should know, and that's sent in by Alien Binary. Now, this is very true. It's very true. I mean, everything you said there is completely legit. You can check it out. And it totally, you know, that is the way the wind blows regarding the term fag. Thing is, though, if you look at the word geek, right? Geek is a very chic term, right? Geek, geek, geeks. Everyone loves geeks. Well, what were geeks were, as you do the research, is geeks were the circus freaks, usually people who are mentally handicapped, working in circuses who used to bite the heads off of animals and shit like that. That was the whole where the term geek comes from. Yet, for some reason now, it's like this totally okay word. I do not believe in bad words. I don't believe bad words exist. I think the whole concept of a bad word is medieval, okay? We need to be able to communicate, and we need to be able to use every single combination of letters that we want to, provided it gets a communicated idea across. The purpose of words is to communicate. That is their function. Okay, they will communicate thoughts, ideas, and expressions. And if I can use a quote-unquote swear or bad word to communicate faster and more efficiently, I will use said swear word. And if you don't like it, anybody else can basically take a flying fuck. But now, the whole thing with Alien Binary, that's not what he's saying. He is giving, and I didn't know that. I thought that was pretty interesting, actually, that I didn't know that the bundles of wood used to burn people alive are called faggots. Now, and again, it also should be stated that if a guy calls a homosexual guy a faggot, this is not a crime. He's called him a name. Welcome to the land of name-calling, sticks and stones and all that good stuff. Okay? However, if the guy decides to hurt the other person because they are a homosexual, they've committed a crime, and that is then criminal. You can hate people all you want, as far as I'm concerned. Sure, you want to hate people because they're black, brown, green, white, whatever. You want to hate me because I'm Canadian. You want to hate me because I broadcast on the internet. You want to hate me for whatever reason, whatever crazy nuttiness you got. Fill your boots. Hate away. Okay? If that gets you through the night and blows your hair back, rock on. Hate, 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 hate. But the thing is, there's nothing really positive going to come from that, and you can't act on that because hate crimes are actually thought crimes, and it's unfortunate, and I really don't like it very much, and I myself cannot stand white supremacy. I cannot stand, you know, the African Nation of Islam claiming, because, you know, you get the white supremacists saying that all blacks are evil, and then you got the African Nation of Islam and Louis Farrakhan saying that all whites are evil. And then you've got, you know, the crazy, you know, Muslim clerics over there saying that all the West is evil. And then you got George Bush saying all extremists are evil. Everybody's fucking evil. Okay, let's just get past this whole evil thing. Let's get past the whole chosen by God thing. And let's just realize, okay, you know what? Everybody can think what they want, but it doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter what you write. What matters is what you do. Actions speak louder than words. Not, you know, the fact that you would sit down and use certain words that other people don't like and create up this huge controversy. Oh my goodness. It doesn't matter what people say. A guy could be the most politically correct dude on the planet, i.e. the United States. Yet, if they're murdering people all over the world, then perhaps what they say doesn't matter. It's what they do that really counts. Not to rip on the United States too incredibly much, but right now, they do seem to be the ones who've got the swastika in the claws at the current time, okay? You can't really go, I mean, if you do the research, the Bush family's so closely tied to the Nazis, it's not even a stretch. But hey, you know, what am I to go on about? You know, really, I mean, you know, who am I to say, all I've got is, you know, the truth. And never let fear and common sense stop you, so you may as well just speak what's on your mind. Let's get into, speaking of speaking what's on your mind, let's get into Sort Yourself Out. Dear Sean. I have a problem with my stepdad. First off, he promised to fix my truck for Christmas last year. It is now August. Consequently, he's significantly late on the deadline of truck's fixedness. The original conditions for him to fix it was to get the money for the parts. We did one better. My boyfriend and I bought the parts ourselves. He worked on it until it got too cold to work on. Then he made another condition. I lost my job in early January because of the transportation issue. So he told me to get a job and he would fix it. Well, there was a problem with that. Since I was living 2 miles out of town in the middle of fucking nowhere, it was hard to find a job. 2 more months went by, so it was March. Then he says, well, since you canceled your insurance on it in February, I won't fix your truck until you reinstate it. So, I, or rather my boyfriend, put the insurance back on it in March. Excuse me, but I thought the point of insurance was a case of an accident or a ticket. How in the fuck am I supposed to get in an accident or get a ticket if the vehicle is not moving? Seeing he was giving me so many excuses to fixing it, we decided we were going to tow it to an actual mechanic. But no, he didn't like that one bit. He threatened to get the police involved and have it impounded. Also, anytime I ask about it, he explodes like a firecracker in my face and upsets me. We moved to a city 45 minutes away. Now, the condition is that I have to get a job or go to school in order for him to fix it. And on top of that, they say I can't afford the vehicle. That wasn't part of the original deal we made. Instead, the registration expired because of my B-day. The insurance was canceled due to non-payment. And this was sent in by Dark Butterfly, whose name I'm going to, or location I'm going to withhold. And the boyfriend and I love the show. Please keep it up. Okay. Now, this is interesting because I don't know your family situation. I don't know your father. I don't know any of this. And I put it to you that it does not matter. What we have here is the fact that he's your dad means absolutely nothing. Not a goddamn thing. So what we got here is who owns the vehicle right off the top. If it's your father's truck, guess what? It's not your truck. If it's your truck and you don't, you're not, I guess it must be your dad's truck, because if you're going to tow your own vehicle, to a location and get it fixed, he can't call the police on you because you're getting your vehicle towed to be fixed. Now, if it's your vehicle, okay, I would wait till your dad is not home, tow the vehicle when he's not home, leave a letter explaining exactly what happened, and claim that you have no wish to further contact him. Thank you very much. Okay, that may sound a little cutthroat, but if the guy's being an asshole about this, it seems to me that he's playing some kind of weird game with the truck. So that's option A. Option B is to write the truck off. Forget about the truck. Walk away from the truck, and if he tries to fix the truck and give it to you, you can either accept the truck and reassess, or you can tell him to cram the truck up his ass. Okay? Whatever the problem is with this vehicle, you know what? Okay, use public transit, get yourself a bike, do whatever, save up your cash, and get yourself another vehicle. The man who is doing this to you, I don't know why he'd do this, but this is totally unacceptable, and therefore there must be ramifications to this. Hi there, Dad. You have decided you're going to fuck with me, so you know what? Worse than hatred is indifference. I'm writing you off. Thanks for coming out. Might call you again in 6 months, see if you've changed your tune. You know what I mean? Say, hey, Dad, you've got 4 months to fix the truck. If you don't fix the truck, you'll never hear from me again. How's that? Because otherwise, you have no leverage. You see, that's what this is all about. This is all about leverage. In a lot of relationships like this, when people are trying to use, you know, little games and play little things with you, it's about leverage. What is the leverage that you have on your father? Unfortunately, it's gotten to that point where no one's being cool, so you have nothing to say. Well, if you don't do this, this will happen. Whereas your dad seems to have the opinion that, well, if you do this, this will happen. He's threatened to call the police on you. This is not a loving thing for a father to do. Your dad sounds like a shit pump. I hate to say it, but it's coming across to me that your dad's a fuck stick, okay? So, personally, I would simply stay in the city, or maybe, you know, if he knows where you live and you're concerned about ramifications, move your apartment, don't do a forwarding address thing, and just fade out, man. You know what? You got your own life now. These people raised you. I guess they're trying to fuck with you. Time to move on and leave this all behind you. You may say, whoa, whoa, Sean, you're writing off the chick's dad because he won't fix the truck? No, I'm not. I'm writing off the chick's dad because of the control issues that you're seeing here. We're seeing broken promises. We're seeing threats of calling law enforcement on your child. Okay, now that to me is grounds right there to, okay, you're gone. At what point do you cut the guy off? So that would be my particular call on your situation. Hope it helps. On to another piece of advice / opinion piece. Dear Sean, help me, I'm surrounded by boneheads. Yeah, you might think, yeah, this is some guy who just has some problems with a few people being brain dead. But no, this is damn near everyone I talk to, not just the people in government, but the people in my everyday life. My employers and subordinates, my peers and otherwise, people who, and I'm not making this up, believe I've gone so far in the realms of generic inherent stupidity and ignorance that they're not even faking it anymore. Used to be that people would fake being bone dumb just to irritate you, bait you, and thus control you. I've had this problem at repeat interviews with employers in the past. But now it's like they're really that lost. There might be maybe two or three intelligent people that I even know of these days who actually talk. And while I do consider you to be one of those people, two or three people out of hundreds of thousands of limitlessly daft individuals and sheeple, doesn't make for favorable levels here. Like the crowd who are, say, fuck cops, and I retort, see if you say that when the crackheads got the knife to your family's throats demanding your money. And then they slowly respond with, fuck cops. That's not the only occurrence. But it's always that kind of logic, or lack thereof, that starts these situations. What the hell does a self-respecting wog do as my legal responsibility prevents me from intellicide? Also, I do have to blame you for one thing. You have poisoned my mind a bit. Now every time I listen to the show on rant, rather than visual mind doesn't in fact see you doing a show anymore, no, it sees Max Headroom's stuttery little head doing it instead. Tisk tisk. Anyway, thank you very much, and good things and all that shit. May you fare better with the lesser intelligent than I seem to be doing. Now, this, of course, off the cuff, seems like a really pretentious email. You're like, wow, what an arrogant fucker. You know, I mean, the guy thinks he's so unbelievably smart. But unfortunately, there are a lot of really dumb people in the world. So you have to look at this and go, whoa, you know, where did all these stupid motherfuckers come from? And more than that, how are they being created? Well, I think the television has an awful lot to do with it. I think that there's a lot of reasons how and why to, explain how these people are becoming stupid. But one of the best things I can advise is try to get involved in clubs or groups where you can meet more intelligent people who are, you know, and have to be like engineering groups. I always find that engineers are great people. Robotics engineering clubs, robotics clubs, things like that. So you can even, and as a last resort, because I can't stand these guys, as a last resort, I'd look at like a Mensa directory or something like that, because Mensa just pisses me off. But still, you know, these are people who claim to be slightly more intelligent. It can get a little rough when everyone around you is just into smash-up derbies and WWF, but I would encourage you that in all else fails, if all else fails, you know, pick up some books, because there's always solace and intelligence lurking in the library. Into the news. Now, you're going to love this one. This is just a great story. In gun-crazy cop news, police seized 2 ounces of marijuana at the home of Anthony Diatuo after shooting him 10 times, according to the information on the drug raid released last Tuesday. Also on Tuesday, while many friends and relatives of the 23-year-old bartender and student mourned him at the Davie Funeral Home, others appeared at the Sunrise City Commission meeting to demand an explanation of the fatal raid. Do 2 ounces of marijuana constitute a death warrant? Asked the Sunrise resident William Delarme, friend of Doyotayo. I'm going to call him Mr. D because I don't want to screw up the guy's name because he's dead. And I respect the dude, but he's got like this crazy name that's like, wow, can I buy a consonant here? Earlier, the police officials released a summary of the information they used to obtain the search warrant, listed what was seized in the house, and detailed what police say happened between Mr. D and SWAT officers Friday morning. Neighbors and family dispute those details. Mr. D, who's 23, was killed hours after he got home from work by a SWAT team looking for drugs. Friends and family say Mr. D worked 2 jobs, went to church regularly, and was dedicating to giving himself and his mother, Marlene, a better life. Okay, now, a drug-dealing piece of crap, never mind anything else, does not work 2 jobs. Lieutenant Robert Voss, spokesman for the Sunrise Police Department, gave this account of the raid. This is what the cops said. The SWAT team knocked on Mr. D's door and announced their presence before smashing in his door at 6:15 a.m. They found Mr. D in his living room and ordered him to freeze and to get on the ground. Instead, the cop says, Mr. D fled to his bedroom and armed himself with a loaded handgun. Voss said it is unclear whether Mr. D pointed the gun at the officers. Officer Sean Visners and Andre Berna shot Mr. D, Doyotayo, in the head. They shot him They shot him 10 times, leaving wounds to his head, chest, torso, and limbs, according to the Broward medical examiner, Joshua Perper. In addition to the marijuana, officers seized plastic bags and weight scales from Mr. D's home. Possessions of 2 ounces of marijuana is a felony, according to the state statutes. The officers' personnel records were not available Tuesday, but Visners had been with the Sunrise since 1997 and the SWAT team since 1999. The officer's personal records, the Visners had been with Sunrise since 1997 and the SWAT team since 1999, and on the SWAT team since 1999. He was an officer of the month in May 2000. Berna has been with the department since 1999 and the SWAT team since 2001. Voss said both officers have no history of disciplinary problems and neither has been involved in previous shootings. They're on paid leave pending an investigation. Clearly, this was a bad team call. Okay, this is a bad call. And a SWAT team should not have been deployed to go into a guy who is selling weed. I mean, why would you send Blue Thunder against the paper boy? Isn't that a little bit much to be sending a SWAT team into a guy who's selling weed in his apartment? Just me. I don't know. Maybe I haven't got enough training on this. Now, also, you might also want to look at the fact that in that list, did they find a gun? When the stuff they seized, there was a gun part of that? Where's the gun? Now, if the kid was playing too much Grand Theft Auto and decided he was going to run into the other room and grab a gun, and he got shot deader than shit, well, you know, that's the way the cookie crumbles. If the kid actually ran for the weapon, okay, if he did. Now, these other two cops apparently have no criminal records. So you know what? This goes back to that whole thing I was talking about with the guy from England, where they look at this and they say, well, do we know what happened there? So who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe the cops or are you going to believe the kid? Now, the kid works 2 jobs, works in a bar, and sells drugs. The cops are cops. Well, it looks like they're going to believe the cops, because that's the way the world works. Now, regarding this story, from Risen Dordun, I get really, really tired of reading stories like this. This isn't the perfect victim because, A, he had a little pot, and, B, he ran for his gun. while masked armed men kicked in his door. But this is clearly another victim of the drug war run amok. He pretty much is almost a perfect victim because he did run for the gun. You know what I mean? Bizarrely, in earlier stories about this killing, police said they knew the guy had weapons permit, so they decided to send a SWAT team in a pre-dawn raid to prevent violence. I see. So they're claiming weapons there, and they send a SWAT team to prevent violence. Why wouldn't they just apprehend him at work? Why wouldn't they just go into work and say, hey, you know what, guy, we need to talk to you, and arrest him? Then get a search warrant, go to his house, and rip up his shit. You see what I mean? Why wouldn't you do it that way? Why would you wait for the guy to be home where you know his guns are, kick in the door where you know the guns are and the guy is with the SWAT team unless you were intending on shooting the son of a bitch? You see what I mean? So if the guy works two jobs and he's regularly out of the house and he's not armed, why don't you just pick him up or wait till he's out and do a search warrant on his house while he's out, see if you find the drugs, and then swing by his work and say, hey, guy, we swung by your house. We found the 2 ounces of weed. You know, you're being charged. You know, come on. That's it. You know, and you do it like that. I don't understand why they sent the SWAT team in on this. And Risen here goes on to say, what kind of a testosterone-addled, fear-driven, paramilitized society do we live in? Oops, never mind. I just think I answered my own question. If you're up for a good gut-wrenching, watch the video clip on the link. Meanwhile, in Albuquerque, somebody apparently shot down a police chopper over the weekend. I covered that story yesterday. Where, oh, where do these people who hate cops come from? I know. It's insane. It's insane. It's like they're trying to, through the media, through, you know, these new music videos and whatever, it seems like there's almost a purposeful, like, watch movies now, and you'll notice that cops, and especially, you know, if you've got, you know, the hero of the film, they need stormtroopers to shoot, right? You know, you always got to have the hero's got to take people out because he's the guy with gun. He's got to shoot people. And who are they shooting? They're shooting cops. They're either shooting cops or they're shooting private security. Isn't that interesting that people who work in the private security field are suddenly not even human fucking beings? You see how that works? And this has gone on since the days of the Terminator. Terminator 2, right? There's that security guard. Everyone's seen Terminator 2. If you haven't seen Terminator 2, it's a great movie. Go check it out. It's a lot of fun. But in that film, you know, the Terminator walks up. There's a guard at a gate, you know, and it's this comedy scene where the Terminator walks up and shoots this guy like 16 times in the legs, okay? And then he walks back to the bike, jumps on the back of the bike and says, he'll live, and drives through the gate. And everyone has a good laugh because he promised he wouldn't kill anyone. But the fact remains is that, like, I understand it's a movie and it's fantasy and all that kind of jazz, but it's that sort of mentality and that sort of idealism that people seem to try to, that they're having a problem differentiating between fantasy and reality. In reality, you don't pull a gun on cops. You're not going to win this. You're not. Let's say this guy was, you know, had ninja reflexes. He's like Mr. Parkour running gun kata guy. So he geeks the entire SWAT team. He shoots, 30 law enforcement officers with families who are only doing their jobs? Now what? Now what are you going to do? You're going to run and just keep running and gunning and see how far you can go until you get taken out? Well, you just justified the use of the SWAT team, didn't you? See what I mean? It's a very, very weird scenario when you've got people that have got this intense hatred for the police. And a lot of people go, well, the police bring it on themselves. Well, the reason for this is cops are scared. You ever notice why whenever we see, like, these footage of, like, cops and they're doing these revolutionary, well, not the revolutionary, but, like, the anti-protest things, they're kitted right out. They got armor on. They got faceplates on. These cops must be absolutely terrified. There's a line of 500 cops against 7,000 protesters. That is some scary-ass shit. You know what I mean? Like, that's freaky stuff. And eventually, these cops have got to begin to ask the question, whoa, man, what is going on with our country? I did not sign up for this. You see what I mean? It's kind of sad that, you know, we've got such this huge animosity going towards law enforcement. We cannot fight law enforcement. You're not going to be able to pull it off. So the only thing you can do is winning of hearts and minds. Do you see what I mean? It's like you could get really covert about it. You could have, like, oh, I don't know, there's a whole lots of really crazy ways that are totally immoral that you could get cops on your side. But, I mean, you know, think about it. Is there any way that being violence against cops is ever, ever going to work? And I put it to you that it's not. Now, here is a very disturbing story sent in by Visage about a failed American revolution. All right? On June 29th, The United States Northern Command, NORTHCOM, posted a news of nuclear terrorism drill on its website. Here's the scenario, okay? A seafaring vessel transporting a 10-kiloton nuclear warhead makes its way to the post to the port off the coast of Charleston, South Carolina. Terrorists aboard the ship attempt to smuggle the warhead off the ship to detonate it. It wanted on to say that Sudden Response 05 will take place this August at Fort Monroe and will be carried out as an internal command post exercise. The exercise is intended to train the JTF CFCS staff to plan and execute consequence management operations and support of the Federal Emergency Management Agency Region 4's response to nuclear detonations. This is all from Alex Jones on InfoWarns. So Alex, of course, now we all know that Alex gets a little bit excited sometimes, but, you know, he does try to hunt down his facts. And so as Alex has pointed and others have pointed out, terror drills are now known to be the favorite cover story for the New World Order terrorist operations, as evidenced by these eerily synchronous terrorist drills happening on both 9/11 and 7/7. And that cannot be denied. That cannot be denied that that is going on. Further to that, if you go further back to the Gulf War, they were doing drills and exercises just before the Gulf War happened. But no one seems to be talking about that. Recently, former CIA, DIA analyst Philip Giraldi had informed the website that Vice President Cheney asked Stratcom with drawing up a contingency plan to be employed in response to another 9/11 type of terrorist attack in the United States, and that that plan includes a large-scale air assault on Iran employing both conventional and tactical nuclear weapons. Investigators and counterintelligence specialists are concerned with this upcoming August nuclear terror scenario might go live and create the pretext for a tactical nuclear war against Iran. So, what is the date today? The date today is the 16th. So, if it comes down the pipe, that in fact there's a nuke strike and all of a sudden we nuke Iran, that's what they're planning. Okay, that's what they're actually setting up for. Wouldn't that be interesting if this is just, you know, the planning stages, and they're using the planning stages, though they're masking them, they're calling them drills. Mother Media contacted NORTHCOM Public Affairs this morning and learned that the Fort Monroe drill will begin in a couple of days. Now, there's those people who'd say, so what? So they're going to be doing drills about nukes, Sean. That's just Alex Jones freaking out. Nothing really big there. Okay, well, check this out, though. According to the, adding to the drama, the four-star commander of the Army's Training and Doctrine Command, TRADOC, at Fort Monroe Base, where the nuclear terror drill is supposedly occurring, okay, the guy who's the four-star commander, okay, of that base, has been, his name is Kevin P. Brines, was just relieved of his command amidst allegations of sexual misconduct. So they said sexual misconduct, he's relieved of command. Veteran investigator Greg Szymanski has uncovered another plausible motive. So they give him a scandal, say you're out of there. But sources close to the military who remain anonymous said that Burns was part of a U.S. military faction discontented with the Bush administration, war policies in Iraq, and the potential for nuclear disaster in Iran. In an effort to stop the Bush administration in its tracks, sources say Burns was about to lead a coup against the hawks in the military and executive branch to determine to lead America into global conflict, leading to the devastating ramifications for the country, as well as financial and social chaos. Rumors inside the military say that a growing faction of discontented high-ranking officers are attempting internally to try and stop the Bush administration's imminent plans for war with Iran in an effort to avert global war. Although the exact number of high-ranking military officials involved is undetermined, sources have disclosed it appears to be evenly split between pro-Bush and anti-Bush factions. Now, this is a lot of speculation. We're not too sure, but this is not exactly what I said when I said eventually the soldiers are going to sort this out, because on some level, the tactical thinker is going to look at this and say, okay, we understand the need, you know, for making sure we've got practical military necessity with oil and all that good stuff, but there will come a point when somebody has got to stand up and say, whoa, man, you're talking about nukes here. And I personally believe that, you know, it'll be up to the heroes in the military to stand up against the Bush administration. But that's just what I think. Now, in illegal video news, and this was sent to me by Soros Femme. Now, I've noticed in the media as well, there seems to be people like there's this sort of resurgence of Hitlerian and Nazi sort of like making Nazis funny. A couple of years ago,
there was this group in Japan who had like a whole clothing line in a store where they did all the little Chinese girls up like SS officers and stuff like that. Really bad taste. But it seems that Dutch prosecutors will launch an investigation into a spoof video portraying the Auschwitz Nazi death camp as a techno party to decide whether to take action against its makers, an official said on Thursday. The video, billed as an advert for a rave party called Auschwitz, has angered Polish authorities, who've asked the Dutch Foreign Ministry to punish the makers and remove the clip from a website. The clip is illustrated with pictures of a death camp advertising a free taxi ride home with a picture of heap of corpses on a wheelbarrow and a hot shower with a picture of a gas chamber. Some 1.5 million people, mostly Jews, were murdered at the death camp in Poland. The Amsterdam Public Prosecutor's Office said it would investigate the video after receiving an official complaint from the Dutch Complaints Bureau of the discrimination on the Internet. Again, thought crime. Yes, is it tasteless? Yes. Yes, it's totally tasteless. It's a scummy, shitty thing to do, okay? But it's a thought crime. We received an official complaint by MDI, and the public prosecutor will look at the video, the prosecutor's spokesman said. Well, what are they going to do to investigate this? They look at the video. They're either going to determine it or not. The prosecutor saw the video a couple weeks ago when Mitty first complained about it, but he didn't find it illegal and did not take any actions against the makers, he said. However, now the MDI has lodged an official complaint. Prosecutors are obliged to re-examine the case. So these guys are getting tried twice over. Oh, now everybody thinks it's a crime, so we'll just say it is one. We don't like the video, but we can't guarantee that the prosecutor will change his mind at this time and find it illegal, the spokesman said. MDI complained on Wednesday that the video was against Dutch law, and it said that three sites had removed it voluntarily, and its producer, a 22-year-old student, has apologized. Okay, well, they've taken it down, right? They're going to take it off, and he apologized. But, again, it's a thought crime. The guy hasn't done anything wrong. All he's doing is he's made a bad joke. Lots of bad jokes being made, okay? There's been bad jokes made forever. There's been bad jokes made since the dawn of time. There's been tasteless black humor. I mean, some of the jokes that cops and ambulance attendants make to each other will never be written down nor repeated because the humor is so dark, okay? Now, is that a criminal charge? No, absolutely not. The whole point of charges and jail time and all that good stuff is to stop people who are a threat to society, not control what they see, hear, and think. They want to make parodies and jokes. If nobody thinks it's funny, no one will download it, and their reputation and what they're trying to accomplish receiving some sort of like props or respect won't be achieved, and instead they will drive themselves further into like this pit of despair where, you know, they can't get any props, blah, 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 blah. So it's kind of self-governing that way. Why would they deem this to be a hate crime? You see what I'm saying here? Well, it'll offend all the people who were there. Okay, I could see that. But offending people, last time I've checked, is not illegal. Because if it was, I'm pretty sure the entire Bush administration would be in the slammer. Now, in geek propaganda news sent in by Medard, listen to this one. This one here is a little disturbing. Tucked away in the Hollywood Hills, an elite group of scientists from across the country and a grab bag of disciplines, rocket science, nanotech, genetics, and even veterinary medicine, has gathered this week to plot a solution to what officials call one of the U.S.'s most vexing long-term national security problems. Their work is being financed by the Air Force and the Army, but the Manhattan Project, it ain't. These 15 scientists are being taught how to write and sell screenplays. At a cost of roughly $25,000 in Pentagon research grants, the American Film Institute is cramming this eclectic group with mid-career researchers, engineers, chemists, and physicists full of pointers on how to find their way in a world that can be a lot lonelier than even the loneliest laboratory. The wilderness of story arcs, plot points, and pitching the special art of a hell better known as development. And no primer on Hollywood could be complete with at least 3 hours on agents and managers. So it seems that the U.S. Army and Air Force are going to start writing the movies that we're going to be seeing on the film. If Black Hawk Down isn't good enough for you, you know, if this new Jarhead movie coming out, which I'm really interested to see how they're going to play Jarhead, because the guy, Anthony Swofford, the guy who wrote Jarhead, he is not pro-Army at all. So I'll be real interested in the spin they put on that movie. I highly recommend that book to anyone thinking of joining the Army. Please, if you don't listen to me because you think I'm an idiot, that's fine. But Anthony Swofford teaches in university. Please pick up his book, Jarhead, give it a read. The information can only help you. Now, in robotic takeover news, Smart Software is taking closed-circuit television cameras to the domain of 3D gaming by combining graphics, map data, and different camera views on one composite page. Now, I talked about this a bit before. The system automatically tracks and stitches 3D images with CCTV videos, maps, and other real-time information. It automatically alerts operators to intruders, right? It looks for intruders, people who aren't supposed to be there. Then it also says unusual behavior and left objects or anything it's told to spot, including facial recognition. So what we have here is we have a reality search engine being developed in the UK. So it's being called Praetorian. Interesting system they got going on over there. The Praetorian system looks something like one would see in a computer game on this TV series 24 Hours. So I guess it's pretty high speed, a low drag. The term Praetorian was originally the name given to the tent of Roman commanding generals, Praetors. The Praetorian Guard was a select gang of individuals who would protect the tent of the commander of the Roman commanding generals. Isn't that interesting? How everything seems to be taking a pro and anti-crusader kind of thing in the news. That's very, very interesting to me. Now, in veteran news, now this is disturbing, and this is one of the reasons why I think everybody should go and download a show called, The Hidden Wars of Desert Storm. You can get off BitTorrent, go find it. It's a documentary. Because the U.S. government is reviewing 72,000 cases in which veterans have been diagnosed with severe post-traumatic stress disorder, claiming that misdiagnosis and fraud have inflated the numbers. Outraged vets say the plan is a callous attempt to cut the costs of an increasingly expensive war. Okay, 72,000 people with post-traumatic stress disorder is nothing compared to what, the 500,000 troops that served in Desert Storm? Matt LaBranche has memories of Iraq that he does not want to have. He was a gunner who was protected convoys of the National Guard Company out of Bangor, Maine. Once during his 9-month tour in Iraq, his truck got separated from the convoy headed to Tikrit. He couldn't raise anyone on the radio. Insurgents ambushed. So you're cut off, isolated, he gets ambushed. He remembers tumbling out of the truck just as a roadside bomb went off, slamming him against the truck, breaking his COCYX, his coccyx, and knocking loose an eye tooth. He remembers pulling the driver out of the truck and laying down fire with an M249 saw machine gun until he thought the barrel would melt. There are more memories he can't shake. Some are worse. Some include children. We agree that I won't print details, but he cries when he tells them to me. Now, post-traumatic stress disorder is not a fun thing. And again, I hate to be sounding like a broken record here, but I was telling you this was going to happen. When you send people over to the sandbox to be blowing people up, they're going to come home all fucked up like February. And that is clearly what is happening here. So what are they going to do? They're going to take in these 70,000 people and do whether or not, you know, they actually are traumatized. This is the oldest trick in the book. Deny the actual claim. Okay? After being discharged by Walter Lead last year, LaBranche approached the Department of Veteran Affairs, which cares for soldiers after they leave the military and pays them disability payments if needed. He was diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder, a widely studied and validated psychiatric condition that can follow life-threatening experience, with symptoms that include nightmares, flashbacks, insomnia, and rage. The VA gave LaBranche a 100% post-traumatic stress rating, meaning there's a percentage and this guy is it. Although LaBranche doesn't reveal how much money he received from the department, in most cases, those diagnosed with 100% rating get the maximum payout, a monthly check of about $2,000. LaBranche, however, may have to prove to Veterans Affairs a second time what the war has done to his mind in a recent move that has set off a firestorm among veterans. Now, I understand that there can be no denial. Anybody in the military knows that there's a bunch of malingering assholes in the military. Everybody knows there are malingerers in the Army. The guys who are malingering in the Army want the cash. I understand that. But when you got guys who have joined, gone overseas, seen combat, and the doctors agree to a 100% rating, even a 50% rating, that the guy is fucked up and he's seen combat, who do you say he's not? Doesn't he deserve that pension? I would say yes, considering you look at the amount of money that is wasted on ranges every year, on artillery ranges, on cash buyouts handed to weapons contractors. At least give the troops some cash. Now, in Cyberpunk kit news, it seems that there's a high-speed, low-drag tinfoil gear supplier. The EMF Safety Superstore, owned and operated by Less EMF Incorporated, is a mail-order business specializing in electromagnetic safety products for the home and office. Now, in there, they got a bunch of stuff. But one of the things they have in there, aside from, you know, tinfoil underwear, well, actually, it's not tinfoil. Technically, it's silver lined, but they got socks, underwear, blankets, they got detectors. But they also have wallets. And the wallets would shield any cash you have against any RFID tags should they be in the cash. So that's something to look at in case you're worried about an ID card getting scanned or getting scanned at a distance. Having your very own Faraday cage for your money might not be a bad idea. So make sure you check that out. And, of course, the RIAA is back at again. Are they on about file sharing? No, we're back to CD burning. Music copied onto blank recordable CDs is becoming a bigger threat to the bottom line of record stores than music and music labels than online file sharing, the head of the recording industry's trade group said on Friday. Burned CDs account for 29% of all recorded music obtained by fans in 2004, compared to the 16% attributed to downloads from online file sharing networks, said Mitch Bainwall, chief executive for the RIAA. Mitch, you have no idea what the fuck you're talking about. Further to that, Mitch, I'd like to know where you're getting your numbers from, because clearly you're all fucked up like February. He goes on and spits out a whole number of numbers here, which make absolutely no sense. And in copywriting food news, you think you're going to own your own chickens? Not for long, because with all these avian flus they're developing, what a great way to make sure all the meat gets grown in labs. Because in lab meat news, an international research team has proposed new techniques that may lead to mass production of meat reared not on a farm, but in a laboratory. Like, fuck, I'll eat this. Developments in tissue engineering mean that cells taken from animals could be grown directly in meat, grown directly into meat in a laboratory, the researchers say. Scientists believe the technology already exists to grow directly processed meat like a chicken nugget. Oh, God, that's creepy. The technology could benefit both humans and the environment. It could also make you sicker than fuck or be evil. With a single cell, you could theoretically produce the world's annual meat supply. And you could do it in a way that's better for the environment and human health. Wow! In the long term, a very feasible idea, said Jason Mathey of the University of Maryland, part of the team whose research has been published in the Tissue Engineering Journal. How do I get a subscription to the Tissue Engineering Journal? Growing the meat without an animal could reduce the need to keep millions of animals in cramped conditions that would lessen the damage caused by the meat production to the environment. Now, on the upswing, I would say on the upswing that it will decrease the animal suffering. It would also decrease the amount of waste created in methane by meat farms and all the rest of it. However, it does mean that meat is then copywritten and we run into a whole new world of licensing and so on and so forth. Personally, I don't know if I trust lab-grown meat. That's just me, though. And speaking of food, that brings us to our daily hack, because nothing slows you down like having to cook a meal. So Kizzle sent in an idea for once-a-month cooking. Now, it's handy if you got yourself a freezer, but listen to this. Sick of cooking every day? How about cook all your meals once a month? About.com has a very interesting topic called Once a Month Cooking, OAMC. Linda Larson says that if you have a large freezer and a bunch of containers, a la, you know, your quasi-plastic containers, could be called Tupperware, but Tupperware is just a brand name, you could cook a batch of different recipes and freeze them. The only catch is they have to be very organized and cook a large amounts of food at one time. But I think this is a great idea, and, you know, I should probably get my freezer going and do just that. After all, it would give me more time to do more media, because after all, that's exactly what I need to do, is get more time on the box. And that's all I got for you today, but don't worry, I will be back tomorrow to make sure you get all the information you need to stay alive. This is a free radio broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of 71 people for the month of July 2005, and we had 5 new people that month who showed up, and a big props and thank yous to those folks. If you would like to be one of the noble heroes that keeps this daily news broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca and click on the donate tab, because every little bit helps. And thanks again to everyone and their assistance in gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or any other pertinent stories, please email them to Newsreel. That's NEWSREAL at rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up the self-titled album by Diatribe. And I'm going to leave you now with a track by Richard Cheese covering Slipknot's People Equals Shit. So until tomorrow, that's what Server said. End of line.
Come on, Here we go again, motherfucker. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on down and see the idiot right here. Too fucked to beg and not afraid to care. What's the matter with calamity anyway? Right, get the fuck out of my face. Understand I can't feel anything. It isn't like I want to sift through the decay. I feel like a wound, like I got a fucking gun against my head. You live when I'm dead. People equal shit. People equal shit. People equal shit. People equal shit. Come on. Now, so fuck it. Blood on my face and my hands, I don't know why. I'm not afraid to cry, but that is none of your business. Overdo it, don't tell me you blew it. Stop your bitching and fight your way through it. I'm not like you, I just fuck up. Come on, motherfucker, everybody has to die. People equal shit. People equal shit. People